You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, who's interrupting my intro?
Is this a joke?
This is no joke, kid. This is the Earth Station DCU podcast.
No clothes from anybody. Sickening.
We're not that kind of podcast, kid. We talk DC news, comics, movies, and television.
You gotta do better than that.
We review Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow every week.
That a fact. How much do I owe you?
You don't owe us anything. The podcast is free.
Oh, I just heard this story in the cab, and it is all I can think about.
We are part of the ESO Network.
This is amazing.
Why, thank you. And join us every week for another edition of the Earth Station DCU. Now, can we get back to the show, please?
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted those transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor? You imbecile.
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you the year in review for 2017. So finally, I can get started with getting the other podcasts up and running. So I did promise to get a lot more podcasts done before the year was out. And unfortunately, I became ill. And then, of course, the holidays happened, and I had a cruise, and still became ill because I had some seasickness issues. So it's taking me about this long to kind of finally sit down and finally record this podcast. So let's start off with a couple of things. The TV shows that I've watched for the past year. There's been a lot of TV that I went over this list. So in no particular order, I watched Powerless, which was a great series. Unfortunately, it got canceled on NBC. Legion is another great series that I started to watch. And my son and my wife actually are way ahead of me. I'm still stuck on episode one. Again, there's a lot of stuff to watch. Bill Nye, the science guy, so saves the world on Netflix. I think I've seen the first couple of episodes. He's very angry for some reason, and I get why he is the way he is. It's a good show, but it doesn't feel like Bill Nye, the science guy, back in the old days, that kind of vibe. But still, it's enjoyable. GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. This was something that I've been interested to watch. Because I actually did watch gorgeous ladies of wrestling way back in the 80s when I actually was interested in wrestling. So it was kind of nice to see something kind of pay an homage to that period. And Alison Brie is in it from Community, so I was happy to see that. Then we have The Tick. The Tick is something that I wasn't too crazy about, the fact that we're doing another live-action series. But it does grow on you, and it does feel a little bit more... what's the right word? More developed. Because we see a little bit more of the backstory for Arthur and his sister. And The Tick actually starts to warm up on me towards the end of that first half of season one. So, but it's weird that it's the exact same executive producer, Barry Sonnenfeld, who did Men in Black. He did the first live-action Tick series. I actually went back and watched a couple of episodes, the one with Patrick Warburton, and it just feels weird that you're kind of retreading it, but it's enough to feel a little bit better than what he initially did with Patrick. The Orville. We talked about this on the podcast, Gene and I. And for the most part, I'm really happy with The Orville. I look forward to more of it than I actually do of Star Trek Discovery, which is the other show that I've been and still watching. Over the holidays, I posted on Facebook in a Star Trek group about the main problem that I have now. Putting aside the Klingon subtitles, the CBS All Access paywall. The main issue now is, again, the sticking point is the overall look, the technology, how you can have this, and then 10 years you kind of downgrade to what the original series looks like. Wow. I never expected to have as many people be so unsupportive in my way of thinking. And I don't mean that in the sense that, oh, yeah, you're all right 100% and I agree with you. I'm not expecting that. But I don't expect people to act like a bunch of dicks online. And that was my problem. This was online. So whatever the case is, the only positive thing that I can say, and there are some people that agreed with me, but there was this one person who gave me a link to a podcast called Go Trek Yourself, in which he had a Star Trek author, David Mack, who wrote the first Star Trek Discovery book called Desperate Hours. Based on just the first 20 minutes of that podcast alone, I bought the Kindle book and I started to read, because what he had to deal with is what exactly what I'm dealing with, is how do you rectify what the show is doing in place of being 10 years before the actual original series. So that's the kind of information that I was looking for. And that's the kind of constructive criticism that I'm looking for. I want to be the Star Trek fan that loves Discovery. I want to be the Star Trek fan that supports Star Trek Discovery. At this point, I'm not there yet. I'm just watching this and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. The Mirror Mirror episode happened last week, and I'm still waiting. It seems like it hasn't found its identity yet. You had the first two episodes with Michael Burnham on the Senju. No, that's not it. Finally, the third episode, we get to be on the actual Discovery. Okay. And then before the break, we had them going into the Mirror Mirror universe. So it seems like this is another turn in which we're going to be dealing with this for the next couple of episodes, or however long we're going to be dealing with this. So it just seems that right off the bat, we're getting this big war conflict that, if you look at what DS9 did, it led up to a big war in which they earned it. Here, it's more like, let's start off with a war and let's get everyone engaged. And that's where I think I'm lost in that sense, among everything else. But again, that I can put aside. I can put all that aside. I just want to know, how is this all going to fit into the original series? So I'm reading the book. I'm about chapter 5 in there. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. That I want to have. Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. Now I can go ahead and watch the rest of the damn series and be okay with it. I know other people have no problems with that, and that's good for you. Everyone has a right to like what they like. But for me, this is a big sticking point. Going on to the Inhumans, I did a review the first couple episodes. I could not finish the series, and I think about halfway through I gave up. It's a shame. I was kind of looking forward to it, but honestly, it's like Marvel done on the cheap. It was not necessary. Next, we have The Gifted. The Gifted is really good, except I've only seen the first episode. And again, I have a lot on my plate to watch and to do. But The Gifted, which is another version of the X-Men, really happy with the production with that. The Defenders that happened over the year. Again, the first 4 episodes, fantastic. I was actually on board with it. Finn, Iron Fist was not much of a douche in this series, and he was okay. But overall, very disappointing with how it all worked out. The new MST 3K series on Netflix, I'm kind of happy with it. I'm not exactly laughing my head over it, but you know what? I'll take any MST 3K episodes anytime. Sometimes I just need to have it in the background, and every once in a while, I'll throw some reference out there, and I laugh, and I'm okay, that's good. So I'm happy for new episodes. Twin Peaks, The Return. I've only seen the first 2 episodes. I have not gone back. I wanted to finish rewatching the first 2 seasons of Twin Peaks, but after talking with my friend Tony, who had done previous podcasts on Star Trek, says you really don't need to. So again, we'll see what happens. We have also next Stranger Things 2. I enjoyed Stranger Things a lot. There was a lot of good moments and a lot of good, there were a lot of great interactions with different characters. And I think that was the bonus to me, is seeing these characters that we loved in the first season kind of switched up, and they're paired off with different people that we haven't seen before. So great relationships in that sense. But I think the off-putting of 8 seems a bit tacked on to kind of give us something to look forward to. I would have been happy with having 8 at the very beginning, like they did of season 2, and that's it. Nothing to have this side mission for 11 to go to Chicago for this one-off episode and then come right back. It just seems weird, but in any case, it's still good. The ending was fine. But again, the characters and their relationships with each other is more enjoyable than anything else. So again, can't complain about that. Marvel's Runaways. I am now on episode 3. So I saw another episode last night, and I really, really liked it. I really love the series enough that I'm going to have to now focus and start finishing the rest of the run. The Marvel's Punisher. The Punisher series, again, this is, I enjoy the series. I can't get past it and binge it like I've done with other shows. It's really dark, and I'm tired of the Punisher, Frank Castle, go to sleep, dream about his wife, and then her getting shot over and over again. It is a little bit too much to have that. And I understand that's what's going on in his mind, and that's his world. But I don't want to be a part of that world. So, enough. I'm going to take a break on The Punisher. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, after the Inhumans finished, after, I don't know, 6 or 8 episodes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came back on. So, it picks up from what it did last year, in which the agents were kidnapped and they were on a space station. Now, we didn't know anything more that other than they're now in space. Well, it appears over the course of the episodes that not only they're in space, but the Earth has been pretty much destroyed and they're in the future. And we are seeing what's left of humanity under Kree rule. And they're using whatever humans there to create more Inhumans. So that's still going on, even though, you know, the series sucked. But in any case, it's still enough for me to feel engaged. Not like, I would say, like on a level of the Ghost Rider series. But I think one of the big improvements is the writing. Mac, who is, you know, the big strong guy, not much he has to say, but first couple of episodes, hysterically funny. Nothing but sci-fi references, like nonstop. I'm like, where the hell has this guy been? But again, very spot on, and I was really happy with that. So I'm eager to see how this all plays out, so we'll see what happens. Then we get Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash and Arrow. Everyone is doing great. I still have to finish up the Crisis on Earth X podcast. Again, I finished all those episodes. I binged them all like crazy. And again, I wanted to finish the damn podcast and I got sick and I just did not have the energy to go any further other than the first episode of Supergirl. So I will promise to finish that up. Gotham. Except for the first episode, I have not gone back to Gotham. So I have lots to catch up on that. And of course, Iron Fist, which was god-awful all the way through. The Walking Dead. Sorry, I got a bubble. Sorry, The Walking Dead. I finished last season's run through because I got it on Netflix, so I was very happy with that. I've not seen anything new for this season, although, spoilers, someone that get killed in the halfway point, which is kind of like, oh, crap. All right. So I was kind of upset by that, but whatever. It was bound to happen anyway. Last but least, Ash versus the Evil Dead. I actually finally got to see this over the holidays. And again, Netflix now has the first season. And I was watching the first episode, and I'm like, wow, this feels like an Evil Dead movie because of the stylized camera work and all that. It's like, whoever really did this really paid attention to that style and kind of really recreated it so well, so flawlessly, until I realized, oh, it's you, Sam Raimi, who did the actual Evil Dead movie. So I'm like, duh. I feel like an idiot. A couple of things that I've not gone to see. Emerald City, that was on NBC. I believe the director, Tarzan, who also did the movie called The Cell. And what was the other one with the Greek, not Greek gods? Well, maybe the gods. But it had, oh my God, what is his freaking name? Superman. Not Christopher Reeve. Not Dean Cain. Oh my God, I'm blanking out. Oh God, from Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel, that guy. He did a movie with that director. Visually stunning. Henry Cavill. God damn. Henry Cavill. And it's really fantastic. So stunning as far as that director's work. But Emerald City, I didn't see how that was going to be long playing out. But in any case, American Gods is something that is a Neil Gaiman book. And it's now a series and is well received. I have not gone around to it, but I'm dying to see it. The Mist is another series that is now on Netflix. But I'm like, seriously, are we going to be like watching the whole thing like in fog? And is the ending still going to happen the exact same way? Or how is this going to be play out? I'm kind of interested just because I like Stephen King's series. But sometimes they just kind of, they lack sustainability of a series to be over a long period of time. Hence, like the Dome. I think first season I was all in. Second season I was like, I can live without it. And I think it might have had a third. I'm not sure. The other one is called Ghosted. This is going to be on Fox. You know, basically it's a parody of the X-Files. I saw half of the first episode and I knew of this series when I watched the Sci-Fi Channel's Comic-Con convention coverage and they interviewed those two actors. It looks okay. I'm not sure it's been picked up for a second season, but again, we'll see what happens. All right, so for 2018, this is a rough schedule. Since we're already in January, I have not watched the new season of The X-Files, which happened on January 3rd. January 7th, we have the return of Star Trek Discovery, which I talked about, the Mirror Mirror Universe, which was directed by Jonathan Frakes, so I'm happy to have him back. January 12th, we had the Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, which is on Amazon. I have that on my queue. We have Supergirl returning on the 15th, but Black Lightning is also kind of sort of replacing Supergirl, and Supergirl is going to be put on the back burner for a bit. I'm like, that really sucks. You could have had Black Lightning in the mix. Even if it wasn't connecting, you can still put Black Lightning after Supergirl, and I would have been fine with that. So, and then, of course, Flash is back and Arrow's back. March 21st, I got the official date for Krypton, which is on Sci-Fi Channel, and this is the story of two generations before the Man of Steel comes to Earth, in which we get that story being told by David Goyer, who wrote the Man of Steel movie. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm kind of leery about it because it just looks too, not only modern looking, but they're going to be introducing characters from the DC world like Adam Strange, Brainiac, I think, or other people that, I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. Now, 2018, we're all going to get other seasons of The Handmaid's Tale, which I have yet to finish, but I'm dying to. It's getting all these great accolations. We have Legion for season 2, which I'm glad has been picked up. Daredevil, we're going to get season 3. Iron Fist, jeez. Season 2 is coming out sometime, and I put down why. Luke Cage, Season 2, there was an image that was released later, sometime in November or thereabouts. Misty Knight has a new hand, so I'm excited about that. And Jessica Jones is coming back for Season 2. And oddly enough, the Purple Man's coming back. How is that possible? I don't. But maybe Jessica Jones definitely did kill the Purple Man. So that could be just basically something that's going on in her head. Who knows? But honestly, I don't know of Jessica Jones' rogue gallery of villains to choose, but I guess he's fine. And I'll go with that. That's going to be the end of my television watching for this podcast. So I'm going to talk about something that's new for me, in which is going to be talking about soundtracks, movie soundtracks. Now, I'm going to go over this list, and these are movies that I've listened to, and I'll give you my favorites out of all this list. So we have Star Wars The Last Jedi, and also I'm making a side note because, again, I am a librarian by day, podcaster by night, or however way you want to mix the two. But it is available through Hoopla Digital. So if you live here in Miami, or I'm sure your library, wherever you live at, has Hoopla, make sure you look up The Last Jedi, because it is available through Hoopla. So I'll listen to that soundtrack. Thor Ragnarok, also through Hoopla. Justice League, again through Hoopla. Blade Runner 2049, not available through Hoopla, so you can find it on YouTube or Spotify just to listen to. Bright is also available on Hoopla. Ghost in the Shell, the one with Scarlett Johansson, not available through Hoopla, but again, you can find it on Spotify. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, not on Hoopla. Wonder Woman, yes, you can find it on Hoopla. We have Dunkirk, also on Hoopla. Baby Driver, that one was hard to find, but again, I think you can find it on YouTube, or at least a playlist somewhere thereabouts. Kingsman, The Golden Circle, not on Hoopla. Alien Covenant, yes, on Hoopla. The Lego Batman movie soundtrack, yes, on Hoopla. Cars 3, you can find that on Hoopla. And lastly, Atomic Blonde. And that one is not available on Hoopla. Now, out of this list, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8 that are my favorite. Let's start off with the Lego Batman. Very enjoyable. I really don't have much to complain about that. It has good music, and it has enough of a good feel like the Lego movie that I can listen to that anytime. Atomic Blonde, I watched this movie yesterday, and since the movie takes place in the 80s, all the music takes place from the 80s. And the kudos to Atomic Blonde to play, I think it was like the second song. It's the song that David Bowie sings in a movie called Cat People, called Putting Out the Fire. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. And it's only been played one other time outside of the Cat People movie. And that was from the Inglourious Basterds, from Quentin Tarantino. So anytime you put that in there, you already won me over. Baby Driver was a fantastic musical score, and because it goes back to a lot of good old music, that like the Harlem Shuffle and Queen is in there. But my God, I really, really love that soundtrack. But I'll talk about Baby Driver soon about that. Next one is Dunkirk. Hans Zimmer has like a really quieter score, but it's really effective. I really can't say that this is something that I can listen to on its own, but kind of like Interstellar, where there are moments in which it kind of builds on itself and you get kind of caught up in the moments of the piece, I can get into that. But again, it's selective. I have to kind of be in that moment to be there. Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is high on my list, so that's kind of like my top 4. But what gets really hard, and I like it, but not like it, which is Blade Runner 2049. Hans Zimmer also helped out with the score. And it's really, really hard to kind of capture what Vangelis did in the original Blade Runner. But honestly, it does enough for me to kind of make this a high pick for me for 2017. Now, this is the two that I have a big problem, because I liked Justice League by Danny Elfman and Thor, I'm blanking on the guy's name, I want to say Mother's Board, for Thor Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok does a complete departure from a traditional score, because it has a lot more electronic elements in it, but it does have a chorus, and it's more epic, and it's fantastic. Danny Elfman's Justice League, because I am such a big DC fan, he inputted the Dark Knight music from when he did with Tim Burton. We do have music from John Williams from Superman. And of course, we also have Wonder Woman in there. And then we hear a Flash's theme. The only thing I didn't really hear too much about is Aquaman's or Cyborg's. But again, I've only seen the movie once. But if you listen to the damn score, the whole point of listening to them by themselves is that, what do you feel from them? Can you see this movie in your head? Can you feel the emotions? And I talked about this in Justice League, is that if I hear the movie separately, I mean, if I listen to the music separately, I'm fine. But watching the movie, I'm like, it was almost non-existent. And the points at which I heard those classic themes should have won the fans over, not a one. Thor, on the other hand, almost has the exact same kind of problem as Justice League. But again, listening to it by itself, I can't be as... I'm just ecstatic about what it was able to accomplish, because Thor is taken basically to a different world. It's all colorful and it's brighter. And so it has like this weird mix of music that I'm like, that's really unlike, I think, the Patrick Doyle version from the first Thor movie. And I'm not even talking about the second one, because I can forget him. But that version, Patrick Doyle, is more classical, more Shakespearean in tone, if you want to put it in those kind of weird terms. Whereas this, much different. But again, enjoyable. I can't complain about that. So basically at this time, Thor, Ragnarok, and Justice League are tied for my number one pick. And a side note, I want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The movie itself is okay, but I think the problem that I had, because the first soundtrack played such an instrumental part of Peter's background, any music that he played, he was actually nearby or there listening to it, or the people listening to it, but he was the focus. When I listened to this soundtrack, I don't feel the exact same way about this movie like I did with the first one. So the problem that I have, and I think the correlation is that because the music in this second movie, Peter is never around listening to this except for maybe one or two songs. But the majority of the soundtrack, he's not playing that music. Other people are. So that's the kind of disconnect that I felt listening to the soundtrack. And I actually came up with a better list, but I never got around to record that podcast. But in any case, I was really let down by that soundtrack, and it's kind of disappointing, because I've enjoyed the first one, and there are great moments in the second one that's fantastic, that resonated with me because of the whole father issue. It's like, it's not so much the man who gave you birth, it's the man who raised you, because again, I can relate to that, because again, my stepfather was to me my real father, not the person who gave birth to me. So not that he gave birth to me, but you get the idea. So in any case, so soundtracks again, if you have not heard Thor Ragnarok or Justice League and you have Hoopla, do yourself a favor, go to that site and just listen to the soundtrack. You'll be glad you did. So before I go into the movies that I've watched and loved and hated for 2017, I'm going to be talking about some upcoming movies for 2018 that I'm really interested in watching. So in February, I'm not sure if this is confirmed, but We're supposed to be getting the Cloverfield 2017 movie that was delayed last year, this year. But at this late date, I have yet to see any promotional material or any ads, any trailers, nothing. So I'm wondering, you know, are we going to get the third Cloverfield movie? I don't know. I have to look into that. February 16th, Black Panther is coming on the big screen finally. I'm really excited to have that happen. Going into March, we have Red Robin, which is with Jennifer Lawrence, which by all accounts is the Black Widow movie without Scarlett Johansson. March 9th, we're getting The Wrinkle in Time, the one with Oprah. It looks interesting. I tried to read the graphic novel of that book. It didn't work for me, but we'll see what happens. The 16th of March, Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider, which is more based like of the new remake game. So it looks really fantastic. Pacific Rim 2 on the 23rd. I wanted to say I'm excited for it, but I'm really kind of hesitant about what it may come out to be, which is not really good. But I'm going to watch it. I loved Pacific Rim a lot. On March 30th, we're going to get Ready Player One. And yes, I am reading the book. One of the few things that I actually did accomplish over the holidays while still sick. April 20th, we are getting The Rock again for Rampage. You know, I'm not knocking The Rock, but he's in everything. And I don't know if he's doing the Black Adam anymore. And I'm kind of leery about what's going on with that. All right, so moving on to May. We are getting The Avengers Infinity War on May 4th. So, of course, I'm going to see that. The 25th of May, which is going to be more like the traditional Star Wars release date. Solo, a Star Wars movie? Question mark. We'll see how that goes out. June 1st, we're getting Deadpool 2. The 13th, we're getting X-Men The New Mutants. The 15th, we're getting The Incredibles 2. The sequel that everyone wanted. That's about 10 years too late. Jurassic World 2, The Fallen Kingdom on the 22nd. That one, I wasn't exactly wowed by the trailers, so we'll see how that goes out. But Jurassic World was really fantastic. It was a nice homage feeling to the earlier movies, not so much to the second or third, but more like to the first. July 6th, we are getting finally Ant-Man and the Wasp movie. July 20th, Alita Battle Angel. This is Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron. I know this project was in the works for James Cameron for some time, but when the trailer came out, the big problem that I have is the look of the anime eyes on this robot. It just seems kind of a little off-putting, but, you know, it is what it is. July 27th, Teen Titans Go to the movies. And the tagline is, if Aquaman can get a movie, so can anyone else. So I'm kind of in for that. I saw the trailer and I laughed mightily at that situation. Mission Impossible 6 also is released on that date. Are we going to see the mustache that caused all that problem from Henry Cavill? We probably will. I'll laugh at it. And I hope it bombs. Because it really hurt Justice League. It really did hurt Justice League. Damn it. August 3rd, The Predator. So we are getting another Predator movie, but this is The Predator. Okay. October 5th. Because there's nothing in September, and usually when we have something in August, it's not good news. But there are exceptions. Yeah, Suicide Squad, and you had Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, come out in August and did fantastic. and defied what usually August is like the dregs of movies for the summer. October 5th, we're going to get Venom. Moving on to November 2nd, we are getting the X-Men Dark Phoenix story. The 16th, we are getting Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald. Now, we are going to supposedly get the Johnny Depp character that's been mired in controversy, but I really, really enjoyed the first movie. And it's because it wasn't Harry Potter, and I tried to rewatch like a marathon, and like I stopped at number 4, the Goblet of Fire. I couldn't go any further, but I rewatched Fantastic Beasts. I really enjoyed that. The 21st, Ralph Breaks the Internet. So this is our Wreck-It Ralph 2. And then December 14th, we're getting an animated Spider-Man movie. The 21st, we are getting the Aquaman movie. And a Bumblebee movie. Yum, yum, Bumblebee, Bumblebee tuna. No, it's the Autobot Bumblebee. And the 25th, on Christmas Day, we are getting We're getting Mary Poppins Returns, y'all. So, Emily Blunt is Mary Poppins, y'all. So, that's the kind of list that I'm looking at for next year, or this year, I should say, to be recording and hopefully reviewing with not just myself, but more people come the future. I am going to have kind of like not a council of geeks or a legion of nerds or whatever I'll come up with, but I will have other people join me on the podcast and we'll talk about movies that have come out during that period. And that'll be like a once a month thing in addition to what I normally do with Sci-Fi News and other like the Rewatch and the Versus podcast. Now, before I get even further into the podcast, I'm going to give a shout out to two people who gave me their top 10 lists for the 2017 movies. Start off with Rob. So, Rob, thank you very much for your list. His list starts with number 10. I'm going back up to number 1. Is Underworld Blood Wars. I really enjoyed, I think, the first couple of movies of that series, but I kind of lost interest with that. But in any case, that was his number 10. Valerian is his number 9. Recently just finished watching that. Kind of disappointed with the leads, just never really materialized to the point where I really cared about them. Visually, it's stunning. It's Luc Besson's dream to have that graphic novel, the French graphic novel, be brought to light, but you know, he had to settle basically for The Fifth Element, and that's a better movie than, unfortunately, Valerian. Baby Driver, one of my favorites, couldn't agree with more. That's his number 8. Jumanji, I did not get to see, but he liked that enough. That is his number 7. Kong Skull Island is his number 6. Spider-Man Homecoming is number 5. War of the Planet of the Apes, also a great movie. This is number 4. Get Out is number 3. Thor Ragnarok is his number 2, and his number 1 movie is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Okay, so again, thank you very much for that, Rob. And Josh. And Josh gives me his top 10 list, starting with number 10, The Big Sick, which I would definitely want to see that. Number 9 is Star Wars The Last Jedi. Not for me, and I'll talk about that soon. Number 8 is Thor Ragnarok. Number 7 is Wonder Woman. Number 6, Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 5, Atomic Blonde, which, again, I saw recently and enjoyed it immensely, but not in my top 10 because I have a lot of movies that are in my top 10. Shape of Water. I've been wanting to watch this movie, but did not get a chance to see this. Personal Shopper, I believe that's with Kristen Stewart. Get Out, fantastic also. And number 1 for Josh is Logan. Logan is definitely on my list. It's high on my list. So, out of the movies that I got to see, here's my list. Okay. So I did get to see War of the Planet of the Apes, the third movie of the franchise. Did a fantastic job of not only completing the damn trilogy, but basically acknowledging what is going to happen in the Planet of the Apes movie from the 60s. So there are elements in there in which I'm not going to spoil it for you, but if you have not seen it, you have to watch it because it leads right into that and it's fantastic. It really is fantastic because it makes it, it answers the question as to why certain things happen in that movie. Next we have Blade Runner 2049, the sequel that's about 35 years too late, but no one asked for. But man, there are moments in this movie that I'm just spellbound. Scenes and shots that just linger and just expects you to pay attention. Because it's not going to be super fast. It's not going to be cutting with action. But when it does, it's fantastic. But there are moments in there that, as a fan, you get it. And there are moments, and I even caught myself, like, you know, gasping. Because I'm just like, they did it. They brought, you know, they did this. And I, again, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm really happy for that. So, definitely. Thor Ragnarok. I probably haven't laughed as much as I have with Thor Ragnarok. But the only complaint is that it's a little too much. It really is a little too much. And Hela, who in the trailers just kind of won me over, but Hela just didn't do much of anything. Just sat around. She pretty much sat around just waiting for Thor to show up. And that was in the trailers. And like, I knew it was going to happen anyway, but that's besides the point. Baby Driver, another fantastic movie that I freaking loved. And now I can't freaking watch it because of Kevin Spacey. So, I'm not going to go into the details about separating the man from the art, because it's tainted, and I hate that. Baby Driver is, it is what it is. All right, Get Out, absolutely fantastic. I wish I got to see this in the theaters, but I saw it on DVD with my daughter. Absolutely fantastic. I can't speak about it enough. And there are moments in this movie that I'm cringing, and it's not because it's explicit or graphic. It's just chilling. It is chilling. Wonder Woman is my next movie. I can't explain how much I love this movie and how I was very cynical watching it. But I'm like, no, don't be. This is what a superhero should be. This is kind of like the feel-good feeling that you watch when you see Superman, the Richard Donner version. That's a hero. And there's goodness in that person. Considering over the years how much more we've seen and how much darkness we've seen from superheroes also, this was just a nice departure. And I thought about it in my head, what this movie should be about. And again, I go back to those moments in which the women in the audience watching this movie and getting excited and cheering because they got represented. They can become the heroes of their story because of what they see on the screen. That's what it means for us guys to see our heroes on the big screen. We become the heroes of the story. And Black Panther could be the hero of everyone's story. So you don't have to have a gender or race to have what you see on the big screen be your hero. All right, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Saw it. It was okay. Not the exact same moments that I felt watching the first movie. A lot more group moments that I was happy for. And I think Yondu his story arc was a lot more compelling than Peter's story arc with Ego, his dad. Kong Skull Island, I really can't help but smile and how much I really, 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 really enjoyed this movie and how it's setting up their MonsterVerse better than other cinematic universes being set up. But as I compare this to Marvel, Godzilla started out with the Iron Man series, so that's Godzilla is their Iron Man. And then, of course, Captain America takes place back in the 40s, whereas Kong Skull Island takes place in the 70s. That's their Captain America. So why? Because there's going to be, in 2020, Godzilla versus King Kong. So talk about a civil war on a massive scale. I cannot, and I repeat, cannot wait for that to happen. We also had Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. And then we had Dunkirk. Dunkirk is a war movie, I know. But Christopher Nolan, Hans Zimmer, you had to watch it. I love and adore both these guys. I love Dunkirk. Logan is on my list of movies that I've watched, and I freaking loved it. And I really want to own it on black on DVD so I can watch it in black and white as well. Spider-Man Homecoming, I didn't love it, but I liked it. And not until I rewatched it again on digital that I'm like, you know what? It's really, really good. And I even got to appreciate Aunt Milf, Marissa Tomei playing Aunt May. I really got to like her a lot more. Of course, we also have Alien Covenant. And that's it. We have The Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I think the first 20 minutes... No, I would say maybe up to the first half part of the movie, I was fantastic with this. I was enjoying myself. But it didn't, and it really was disappointing afterwards. The Lego Batman movie, loved it. Can't complain about it. A lot of in jokes. The fact that, you know, Batman's code to get into the Batcave was Iron Man sucks. Loved it. Ghost in the Shell. I really enjoyed Ghost in the Shell. I know there are issues about it, but the look of the movie is just simply fantastic. Split is another movie. I wish I saw this in the movie theaters. But aside from watching the performance of James McAvoy, the last 5 minutes in which it connects to Unbreakable just blew my mind. So I cannot wait for that to happen, which the sequel is going to be called Glass. So that's the third movie of that series. We have The Great Wall, which my son wanted to watch, and that's with Matt Damon. It was okay. Not fantastic, but it was okay. I watched Marvel's Inhumans in Atlanta during Dragon Con. So I did a podcast on that, so you know how I feel about that. Then we have Justice League. Again, there are moments in Justice League that I'm cringing because it's such garbage because of that damn Henry Cavill mustache being digitally removed. But there are moments in which is Zach's touches that I'm just like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but you have to watch it. And if you're a big DC fan, it rewards you at least. So it doesn't come off as the Avengers. It does what it can. And it's unfortunate that it doesn't work enough for a lot of people. But for me, it was enough to see it on the big screen. Then we have Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Gene and I did a review on that. We watched it twice. I was okay with it. And, you know, Gene's reactions to that. But, you know, it just seems weird that, you know, the two franchises, the big franchises, Star Trek and Star Wars, would have like an off year. But to have fans crap all over them in the exact same year with Star Trek Discovery and Star Wars The Last Jedi, it's just amazing because you would have, you know, Star Wars, Force Awakens, is on a high note, and then Star Trek has Star Trek Beyond on a down note, even though I enjoyed Star Trek Beyond. But whatever the case is, I saw it. I can't complain other than it's fine. It's much better than Force Awakens. And you guys know about how I feel about Force Awakens. Bright is on Netflix. I watched it. I'm going to rewatch it again. I'll probably talk about that in the podcast in about 2 weeks. Joel Edgerton, who plays Will Smith's partner as an orc. I'm really astounded about how well that makeup looks on him. And I just love looking at how his mouth moved with the makeup. And it's just astounding. I loved it. So the movie is okay. Again, I want to rewatch it again just to make sure that I'm not too harsh with it, or if my comments or my thoughts are justified. Next, we have Death Note that was also on Netflix. Really entertaining. I wish it was a little bit more of a series rather than just a one-off movie. Next, we have Colossal, which is a huge surprise for me. Anne Hathaway is in this movie. And I don't want to give too many details other than this is a kaiju movie that happens to have Anne Hathaway. But it's done in a different way. I've never saw kaijus being portrayed in this fashion. So I'll leave it at that. Cars 3. I was really not looking forward to it other than my son. When we watch this trailer, talk about, I hope he dies. Because you see the car, Lightning McQueen, having this big slow-mo action crash. Well, he didn't die, so that's spoilers right there. But if there's any bright spot about Cars 3, is that it erases what the second one was. Which is like, it's not about Mater. Because that was the wrong direction. Because if you're focusing on Lightning McQueen doing his driving, it was like a B story, whereas he made Mater the A story, and it wasn't that good. I really was more happy if, call it what that is, that's Mater's tall tale, basically, you know? And by this time, I'm like, I didn't care about cars, but it does enough for me to say, it's not that bad, and it erases that crap of Cars 2. Next, we have Teen Titans Judas Contract, which is an animated movie. Not the Teen Titans Go version. So if you're upset about that, this is a little bit more serious. And I really liked it. Again, DC does great animated movies nonstop. Marvel, on the other hand, you can forget it. Valerian is on my list of movies that I saw. And that's it. They have John Wick 2 that I also saw a couple of days ago. They are planning to do a John Wick TV series. So I'm curious to see where they go with this. Because if at the ending of John Wick 2, if the TV series picks up from there, fine. I'm on board if that's the direction they want to do this. The movie overall, it's not that it's not enjoyable. It is fantastic. But the crux of the first movie and the reason why he's brought out of retirement, and I hated that one scene because of the dog, but once you get past that point, I'm on John Wick's side to get everyone killed. Whereas the second one, it kind of picks up from there in which he's being called out on a mark that he has to fulfill a contract. And basically, that's that story. So I didn't feel the exact same kind of connection, but still, there are fantastic sequences in there that are just like mind-blowing. But again, not as much as the first one. And Atomic Blonde also got to see. I think my only qualms about this is that in between the action sequences, which are fantastic, there are some stuff there. It's just like nonstop action. I'm like, I want more of this and just that. The story, when you have the whole spy story going on, not so much that it's compelling. So, but again, very happy with the action sequences, that the 80s soundtracks, fantastic, unbelievable. So, out of this list, which movies did I hate the most? Well, let's start off with the Marvel's Inhumans. Again, I knew going in that it was going to be awful, but I had hoped, I prayed that because, you know, IMAX is going to be partnering up the first two episodes that are going to be moving this into a, putting this into a movie theater. There has to be some kind of stuff on the big screen that I'm just going to be oohed and aahed about. And unfortunately, it never came together. The Kingsman also was a big disappointment, because that also never came together. And I think right off the bat, the trailer, and I think the director pleaded with the marketing people not to do this, but the trailer gave away that Harry was still alive. So had that been removed from all trailers, and then we watched the movie, and then we were surprised that Harry was back, it would have been a better movie. But because there was this knowledge ahead of time, it didn't do anything for me. Alien Covenant is also high on that list. It's actually number two as to the number of movies I've hated. And I hated it only because, look, Ridley, I am on board that you want to tell these stories about what happens before Alien. But this one is such a mess because you're trying to, I don't know how many more movies, and of course at this point there is no more movies. It's official that this franchise is now dead. We're not going any further. But how many more movies were you going to do prior to we get to the actual Alien connection? I mean, Prometheus, you got me with the engineer stuff right from the very beginning. But this one, you're retelling the exact same storyline with a crew landing on a planet, and then you have this whole parasite becoming infesting everyone. I'm just like, we've seen this done to death. And fine, we do get another alien, but at this point, I really don't care. So, whatever. But I think moving on from this point, my number one hated movie was Beauty and the Beast. Why would I say that I hated Beauty and the Beast? Because I didn't want to watch this stupid movie in the first place. My daughter, for last Christmas, she got concert tickets to see Panic at the Disco. So what we're planning to do is that we'll take her to the concert and we'll go to the mall across the street. We'll watch a movie, and when she's done, we'll go home. Well, by the time we got to the show and all that, the only thing that was playing that was going to be in time for us to get out was Beauty and the Beast. I was even willing to watch the Power Rangers movie, and I don't love the Power Rangers or even like the Power Rangers. So unfortunately, that's what I had to watch. And since my son was there, he wanted to see it anyway. I've never sat in a movie with my arms crossed, and that never changed for 2 hours plus. I've seen this movie, the animated version, so many times, and the live-action movie gave me almost the exact same thing, maybe for a song or two. But I could not give two rat farts about this movie. And look, I think Emma is talented, but this was just a very wooden performance. And the Beast should not have been CG. I'm kind of over the computer-generated effects. I would love to have seen this be done with practical makeup. It should have been done that way. But in any case, that is the most hated movie for me for 2017. And again, I love Beauty and the Beast when it was animated. And since Disney is moving towards this, hey, everything that was now a movie is now going to be live action because we did this with Jungle Book, and we're going to get this with The Lion King. So, I'm over it. I'm really over it. So, before getting to my top 10 movies, this is a list of movies that I did kind of want to watch, but did not get to. Transformers The Last Night. I know. But the last one with Mark Wahlberg, which overly long, but it was still entertaining enough for me. But whatever the case. The Dark Tower, I did not get to see. Life, only because it was kind of hinted about the last, I think, 20 minutes. There was some kind of connection possibly to making it related to Venom. Geostorm, I kind of like disaster movies, but didn't get a chance to see that. Jumanji, I wanted to see it over the holidays, but didn't have time. Underworld, Blood Wars, again, I know Kate Beckinsale is part of this franchise, and they had stories planned out, so it wasn't as if they're just repeating themselves, but there's an actual process of fleshing out the story, backstory, or the whole universe. But again, I have to rewatch the whole series to see if I'm engaged from that point on to go further. King Arthur, The Legend of the Sword, Guy Ritchie retelling King Arthur. I like Guy Ritchie's stuff, but we'll see on DVD. Despicable Me 3, the trailer looked interesting, but honestly, I was hesitant with the second movie. And when I saw it on DVD, what won me over was that the story was that Al Pacino was the bad guy, and his dialogue was re-recorded by Benjamin Pratt. And I didn't recognize Benjamin at all, but he did such a fantastic job that I'm like, I was more impressed by that than the movie itself. So I enjoyed his performance in that. I would like to see that, but again, just was not on the plate. The Lego Ninjago movie. This one I really want to feel like, well, if you had the Lego movie and the Lego Batman movie, then this was also connected and you had to watch it because it was part of that universe. And even though it had Olivia Munn's voice in there too, it still didn't register enough for me to go watch it. Lloyd, which I thought it was funny in the trailers, but that's about it. Coco is another one that I've been wanting to watch, but I just didn't have enough time, and I did not feel like crying at the movie theaters, so as I've been told. Shape of Water, another movie that I've been wanting to see from Guillermo del Toro. Raw. This is a horror movie that actually is on Netflix right now. And it has to do with, I think it's a woman or a student who gets a taste of human flesh, and it goes off from there. The Power Rangers movie, like I said, I was actually willing to watch that versus Beauty and the Beast, but now, no. The Hitman's Bodyguard. This is Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds. So, two guys who can't curse enough. I actually wanted to see this movie, but again, did not get to do that. Or get to watch it on DVD. I really wanted to do that. All right, so this is coming down to the home stretch. My top 10 movies that I saw for 2017, and this is something that I recommend. Although, I talked about this, Baby Driver is my number 10. It was very close for not even making the list at all. But because I love this movie, and because when I went to Atlanta for Dragon Con, and I found a bank that had the opening shot, and I'm like, I just love this damn movie too much. And now, because of the whole Kevin Spacey thing, I don't feel I can rewatch it, let alone own it. So I'm really at a quandary as to how to get past this point. Number 9 is going to be The War of the Planet of the Apes. Again, I can't talk about enough about how this movie ties in that franchise to the original Planet of the Apes movies. Matt Reeves has done a fantastic job for this franchise for the last two. I'm looking forward to what he can do for the Batman movie. And of course, if you know Matt Reeves, he was the one who did the first Cloverfield movie. So I'm all in when it comes to what Matt can do. The Lego Batman movie, number 8. Can't get enough of the Lego Batman movie. Again, for me, Will Arnett does a fantastic job playing Batman. And his song, you know, about darkness, that he's super rich, historical. Number 7, Kong Skull Island. Again, I talked about this. King Kong versus Godzilla. I just can't wait. They did such a great job. And again, you can listen to my review of that movie with my wife. Number 6, Get Out. I really love Get Out. I'm kind of curious as to Jordan Peele, what he is going to do with the Twilight Zone series. But if the Get Out, is any sense of what he can do with storytelling, I'm curious to see how he does it. I'm really looking forward to it. Number 5 for me, Blade Runner 2049. So again, if you're a fan of Blade Runner, this movie comes as close as possible. Not 100%, but close as possible to make this a worthy movie of your time. Colossal. Again, kaiju. It's a kaiju movie done in a different way. You will not be disappointed. And I'm curious to hear your reactions. If you have not seen Colossal, I believe... Oh, it was on Hulu. It was on Hulu not too long ago, so I'm not sure if it's still there. But if you have Hulu, check it out. Number 3, Spider-Man Homecoming. Again, I think the second rewatching of this movie recently helped me feel that Spider-Man was worthy of being top 10 and even within the top 5. And Tom Holland's performance, fantastic. And I enjoyed Michael Keaton's performance even more because he wasn't the one-and-done villain. And that's what Marvel has a problem with as well as DC, is that you don't care about these villains. The Vulture, who is probably one of the weakest characters out of Spider-Man's rogues, became really more three-dimensional and more compelling because he's still around. But he also has a conscience, you know. He is someone that you can trust, even though he'll kill you. He's a man of his word. But fantastic. I like him. I love him a lot. Number 2. This was hard, but Logan comes in as number 2. It's a fantastic way to end the character. It's a brilliant move to make this an R-rated movie and to make it work where you have it appropriate, that the reason why you have to have this R is to allow Patrick Stewart to curse as much as he does and to have Logan curse as he does. It's appropriate and it's compelling to watch this family be brought to the surface because Logan doesn't have anyone, but he has them. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, but it's also beautiful. And for my number 1, it has to be Wonder Woman. Again, the reasons why I talked about this is because we haven't had a female lead as a superhero. Black Widow is what is close we'll get to with Marvel. Miss Marvel will get in a couple of years. But Wonder Woman has been taking forever, 75 plus years to get her on the big screen. We had the TV series, which was campy fun. and we all adore Linda Carter. But why has it taken this long for that movie to happen? But because it was a big box office hit, it is the highest domestic grossing superhero origin story of all time. I can't praise this movie enough. So, yes, it has faults. Namely, Ares and his mustache. What's with the stupid mustaches? But in the end of all this, the moment that won me over is No Man's Land scene. And again, because I listened to the soundtrack ahead of time, and the No Man's Land scene, moment happened, and it's just absolutely freaking brilliant. So nothing else really can compare to that moment in as far as all the other movies. So not to say that Logan is not worthy of that, but because now that we have a woman, it's that much more better. So I'm curious to see how your reactions are to my list and to everyone else's list. So on that note, I am now officially done with the podcast for my year in review. So a couple of good things that are happening is that I'm coming close to episode 200, and I'll be doing another special podcast for that. In a couple hours, I have to interview the director of Please Stand By, which is a movie that's coming out in a couple of weeks. So if you have not seen the trailers, please do so and check out my podcast later on this month. And I'll be coming back again with more podcasts from last year that I'm going to finish up and continue with my sci-fi news and a lot more movie reviews. So going to be an exciting year for this podcast, and hopefully you can be a part of that. So how can you do that? Well, first off, let me know what your thoughts are about today's show. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can follow me on the various social networks. I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm everywhere. Just type in Monster Sci-Fi Show and you'll find me for something. So, again, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.